Good evening, everybody. It's 8:22 in the p.m. on Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021. This is the Phthologist speaking. I do this show Sunday to Thursday around 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time from the North Shore of Lake Ontarrible in Toronto, Ontarrible, Canada, the lockdown, masking, booster capital of North America, no doubt. And boy, oh boy, what a day. It's another cold, blustery day here on the North Shores. And boy, I've been spending lots of time researching my favorite subject, the dangers of vaccinology, inoculation. There is more than enough material out there if you're interested in finding out what the hell is going on. And by the way, it's not a rampant virus that's going on. It's a Trojan horse simulated plandemic to bring in the new world order, the reset of the financial system. It's so much more than just your friendly neighborhood plandemic where you could get sick by just staring at somebody or sneezing on someone. This is not what it's about. You've had 2 years to do your research, and if you're listening to this for the first time, you can go through my archives from the last almost 2 years at fakeologist.com/audio, and there's tons of discussion about this. And no one here was really fooled by it because we've been listening to people talk about the plague laws and bringing in vaccines and passports for the last 20 years. And you just heard some, what did you just hear? You just heard some noises from my Skype, and let me have a quick look at who Skyped me. I think Mark Sargent. Mark Sargent. I was going through my Skype. I don't use Skype. I don't like Skype, but I still have Skype. And I was going through some of my old contacts. Skype has done a good job of keeping all my past interactions on Skype and chat going back years and years. I saw Mark Sargent on there, and I want to know if he wanted to do an interview. I'm typing him a message now. Mark Sargent was... It's so funny because I'm accused of being a promoter of the flat earth only because I actually had my Skype set up and recording set up all ready to go. And he did a pretty interesting video called Flat Earth Clues, and he left his phone number at the end. So I just thought, what the heck? I'm in the mood. I'll dial the number, and I connected to he answered the phone. Like, for the most part, when you call anyone these days, they almost never pick up the phone. And I'm talking about people you know. Because people now have the ability to screen their calls. Okay. Now Mark Sargent's responding. So does anyone want to hear from Mark tomorrow? Because, by the way, my dentist, they stood me up again today. I don't think he wants to do it. It's fine. He's not a public speaker. He's a dentist. So I doubt he's going to come on. And he said he was vaccine injured, and I believe him as much as you can believe anyone that you actually go face to face. And you can read body language and all those kind of clues that we've forgotten how to do. And it seems like he's sincere. Mark, it looks like Mark is one of the things about Mark Sargent. He is one of the most agreeable people you'll ever meet. And he never shies away from an interview. So actually, this is a good opportunity for me to tell you, my listening audience, if you have any questions that you want me to ask of Mark Sargent for tomorrow, let me know. And I'll ask him. And, I have no problem talking to anybody, even if I don't really agree with them. Because dissent is a great way to create a new understanding. I bet you he would have come on tonight, but I don't think it's fair to make someone come on right away. Now, I asked a bunch of people tonight to come on. And as I just said, I don't expect anybody really to respond to any kind of request. I asked Mike in the night to come on. Mike is a Canadian, lives in Merritt, British Columbia, which had a little bit of a water problem. And he's a really interesting guy. He's very interesting. Let's put it that way. He does a really good show. And I listened to it today, one of his shows. He's done 400 or 500 shows similar to myself. He's got a whole studio going. He does the man on the street stuff. He's just an interesting guy. It's my favorite kind of journalist slash broadcaster. Just really interesting. He's got a family, a young family. He's just really interesting. He understands what's happening with the pandemic. He likes talking economics, real estate, from a world perspective. He's world traveled. He's just the kind of guy that you should follow. And I think he's been pretty much exercised from YouTube. He's on Odyssey, which I'm not a big fan of Odyssey because it doesn't work that well. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to download Mike's show from last night off Odyssey, and it just does not want to download. So, you know, Odyssey is just one of these a million other platforms that just is really difficult to use. And Mike's show is in high res, so his show is 3 gigabytes. It's insane. I just want to listen to him. I don't even want the video because I don't watch people with their digital backgrounds. It's not useful. I just want to hear the audio, but he hasn't advanced far enough like the Fakeologist show where he can just give audio. Now, on FakeoTube, my show is on FakeoTube, as you know, and people are watching it on FakeoTube, even though I have only one person right now. And if I look on, we do pretty well on FakeoTube. So apparently 4 people are watching yesterday's show, and I've had 290 views on yesterday's show. So I guess some people like to look at the screen. The only thing different about my screen is I've got comments on it. Maybe people are reading the comments, but other than that, there's really nothing on the screen that I present worth watching. I really don't understand why people can't create an audio file to download and put it on your favorite podcast player like Fakeologist. So I only do the video because, why do I do the video? Because I like to share my screen, but if you notice, my screen doesn't change all that much because I'm not really interested in making a presentation, and I'm certainly not showing my ugly face. Therefore, there's almost no point in doing video other than the fact that people love video. They think they're interacting, I suppose. Well, let's say hi to the usuals tonight. We got Lost Spider Phallus, Skate and Destroy. We've got Dirty Benny. And we have Dirty Benny asking a question about Sargent. Consider the APM model. I have no idea what that is. Lost Spider Phallus, can't wait. Kupambuzwa, hello. And Skate Destroy. Marcus doesn't want to come on. He says he's too busy making his 2-minute videos. Marcus is an enigma wrapped up in a riddle. So if you want Marcus on the show, then go on a Telegram, which is the only place I ever see him, or leave him a Twitter message and tell him to come on. I'm happy to have Marcus on, but he says he's too busy. Yet I see him on Infinite Papers on Telegram all the time. So I guess he's not too busy for that. He goes back and forth with Baby Yoda, who does the Infinite Papers on Telegram, which is a great, great channel. I also invited Infinite Papers back on, but he says he's too busy. Everybody's too busy. But who else did I invite to come on? I usually ask just about anyone I'm interested in. I haven't asked Amanda. Amanda may come back next year. She says she's not doing interviews right now. And I'm trying not to read my email. I have given a bit of energy to Steve Kirsch's Substack, stevekirsch.substack.com. He appears to be a person that has been pro-vax to now he's a vaccine critic at this point. And my curiosity makes me wonder if he's going to go all the way with his vaccine, investigation. I'm arguing now with anti-Marxist. So you are arguing that an entire branch of science doesn't exist, that tens of thousands of scientists globally have been conspiring against you for decades just to trick you into believing that viruses are real. That is mental illness. Here we go again. Going to disengage from him. I tell you, you can waste so much time leaving comments. I usually don't do that because there's more productive things to do. Because you have to remember, when you're in the comment section online, you are arguing with many paid trolls. These are people in the military or defense contractors that often have sock puppet accounts that are paid to argue with you. Now, I'm not paid to leave comments. I'm not paid at all for anything I do other than the fantastic donations at fakeologist.com/donate. By the way, we take crypto. When you give your energy, and that's all we have, I think that's become clear as time has gone by and as you get older, all you have is your energy. If you give energy to other websites and comments that maybe no one is going to see, or it's going to be ghosted or deleted, then you're wasting your time. Now, I do fall into the trap quite a bit. And I don't even know what kind of reach Steve Kirsch has. I think he's gaining traction because I think he's got paid trolls commenting now. I don't know why anybody other than somebody paid would care what causes illness. I don't care what causes illness. Do you? I really don't care. I have no vested interest. I do care to avoid what makes me sick. I'm really interested in that. And if something that I suspect someone has paid to make me sick is making me sick, then I'm going to avoid whatever that is. But I'm not going to promote something that I'm not going to really care either way what makes me sick. If it's a virus, prove it. If it's my environment, prove it. If no one wants to prove it, I'm going to make my own deductions. And I don't care if they have an army of scientists that are all on one side. If everyone is all on one side, that makes you really suspicious for the losing side. Did any of you ever feel empathy for the losing side in any situation? The guy that's not picked in the baseball game, the guy that's picked last, did you ever have empathy? Did you always want to go with the crowd? I've always been against the crowd. And anyone that is looking at a completely lopsided argument, which is what's happening right now, where the mayor of New York is literally bribing people to take the clot shot. If you don't see the problem with that, if you don't want to look at the other side of the equation, then you are just being ridiculous. You're just not making any sense. So that alone should give you pause for what's going on. If they are literally coming to your door with gold and just tons of coercion to get you to take something that's supposed to be so good for you, you really are either completely stupid to fall for it, or you're really convinced that they are being sincere. And I don't. Like, listen to this guy. It's ridiculous.
Go get that booster now. We want everyone right now, as quickly as possible, to get those boosters. And we're going to make it even better for you with a new incentive, and an incentive that is here just in time for the holidays, because every one of us knows we're out there shopping for our families. It would be nice to have a little extra cash. So as of today, we're announcing a $100 incentive for everyone who goes out and gets a booster here in New York City between now and the end of the year. So it's a limited time opportunity over these next days. Get your booster shot, get a $100 incentive. It's going to make you feel a lot safer, a lot better that you got the booster, and you'll have some more cash in your pocket at the same time. That's going to be a good feeling, particularly this time of year. You get that quickly. That is now, today. If you go and get your booster today through December 31st. So again, limited time opportunity, but exactly the time we need New Yorkers to go out and get their booster. This will be by far the biggest booster incentive program in the United States of America. By far the biggest booster incentive program in the United States of America. And I want to see New Yorkers respond. This is the moment. Come out in real big numbers. Get.
And that's huge, Tom. We got to get
huge.
It.
What is that?
It's huge, Tom. Huge. It's back to basics. It's huge.
It's all
huge.
What
it's
is it?
Huge. That's right. It's huge. Really huge.
He's going to say this word.
Huge. Because you know as well as I do, it's going to be huge.
Say it for me.
Huge. Nobody can say it like me.
It's.
And it will be.
Can't say it.
What is it?
It's huge.
I'd rather watch Billy Fusillo of the Fusillo Car Group. This guy used to sell cars in Buffalo and surrounding Western New York cities. I'd rather watch him. I think they should recruit him to sell the vaccine, because he came up with at least some of the corniest, most off the wall, kooky car commercials. But no, we've got mayors selling this. I mean, look at this. This is our Tubelard selling on terrible ends. Look at this guy. Listen to this guy. I mean, this is a private surgery going on. Why are we watching this on the television? I mean, just look at the condition of this guy. The guy is clearly obese.
Thank you so much.
And he's clearly under stress.
So just ended up getting my booster shot, and I just encourage everyone, please get out there. If you haven't taken any shots, get your first, get your second, or get your booster. I want to thank everyone across Ontario who went and got their boosters, but I especially want to thank folks like Amel doing a great job.
Like, why are you talking through a mask? Are you being, if you're being sincere, if you really want to sell this garbage, take your damn diaper off and look at the people straight in the eye and let your face. And again, if this was really important, I want to see a real doctor, my doctor, who knows all the problems I have in my body and maybe any other narcotic or medicine or pharmaceutical in my body. I want him to tell me that I need this, not some obese middle manager, salesman of Big Pharma. Can you see the lunacy that we're witnessing right now? The hardcore press that they're putting on to sell an injectable that's an experiment that is still under emergency. They don't even have it officially approved by their own corrupt medical boards or federal authorities that they own. It's crazy that they're telling you that it's just not what it's being sold as. or it's being propagated or promoted as. They don't even officially, they don't even say it's a vaccine. They don't, they say it's experimental, and they say it's not approved by their own corrupt federal agencies that they have stacked and that they fund. It's just crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But my only thought is that these guys, these premiers, these governors, they're being threatened at the moment. They all look like they're captured. They all look like they're hostages. And they probably have deadlines to meet because this is a banking reset and they need everyone on the system so they can reset the currency. They need everyone on it. And their excuse is that everyone needs an injection to survive because not everyone needs a digital wallet. And I think I was talking to someone the other day that I'm sure every Canadian has a bank account, but that's not the case in the United States. I think there's a large number of people that don't even bank. They literally get their paycheck. They go cash it in either at the liquor store, the grocery store, or the payday store, and they walk around with their paycheck in the form of cash, and they privately and anonymously make purchases. Now, that's not going to work if you need to control people. They need to be on a digital passport, a mobility pass that has everything on it that controls their behavior. That is the end game, people. Now, if I told you you must have a digital wallet, you're going to tell me to jump in the lake. But if you tell everyone you're going to die if you don't have this digital record, which is only going to hold your vaccine records for now, but you know damn well it's going to have every single other part of your life to survive on it, sooner rather than later, you would never, ever, ever go for it. You would never go for a digital wallet. Nobody wants to be tracked and traced and told what to do. Not in this generation, maybe in the upcoming generation, but not now. So these guys must be being threatened by their overlord saying, listen, we have deadlines, guys, and you're not working hard enough to sell this thing. And if they had 90 to 95% compliance, they would not be crying the blues like they are now. Think about it. It's probably... It's probably in the 30 or 40% for the triple. It's probably 60 for, I'm going to say it's maybe 50 or 55 for the double. It's probably 60 or 65 for the single shot. And the reason why people are at single and double right now is because they've either had a reaction, they've seen through it. There's many reasons why I would bet that so many people have stalled on their schedule. I really doubt. I think the triple shot people, I'd be surprised. I would say that every time they add another shot, they're going to lose at least half the people. They're either going to question it, or they're going to get sick, or they're going to become complacent, or they're going to smell a fish, anything. And the only way, I suppose, that they can just keep this thing going is they have to keep coming up with stories that there's another variant, so you need another shot to create the fear level and intensity. But I bet you they've stalled, at least in North America. Although I'm sure it varies by city, by province, by state. I'm sure it varies wildly. I'm sure the people outside the cities are not going along with this in the same way, but it's hard to tell. Only they have the numbers. But I still think they're captured. I still think they're being threatened. And I would rather buy off Billy Fusillo of the used car and moved into the full car, new car market. All right, let's just take a look in the chat here. Yeah, Dirty Benny, I'm arguing with bots. Yeah, there are some good comments, and I do read the comments. And I found this fantastic show. Has anyone here heard of The Twilight Zone? Of course you have. Now, season one, episode 22. I think I've watched the whole series maybe 10 years ago. I can't remember now. But apparently season one, episode 22, the monsters are due on Maple Street. And I think I read somewhere that this was never aired, or it was aired once and it was kept out of the video or DVD set because it was so controversial. And of course, YouTube doesn't have it. Now, I found it on BitChute, and I put it on FakoTube. And I really like The Twilight Zone. I think it's super well written.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow.
I like Rod Serling. I just like looking at people from the 50s because they look so much healthier than us. Even if they look wooden and contrived, I just like so much about it, but the writing is always pretty fantastic. And one, Twilight Zone is as different from the next one in terms of writing. I think they had all the best writers of the day. I don't know if they had consistent writers or they're always bringing in new writers because some of them are just so different. There's one episode, if anyone knows, there was one episode where one woman, I think they used hypnosis to try and figure out who committed a particular crime, either against her or somebody else. And I'm racking my brain trying to think if it was a Twilight Zone. I think it was. But she was convinced it was one guy, and they sent the guy to death because of her eyewitness testimony, which most people here know are notoriously unreliable. And then at the end of the show, she was staring out the window into space, and then she sees some guy walk down the sidewalk, and she starts yelling, "That's him, that's him." Now, this is after she had been used as an eyewitness to convict someone to death, and then all of a sudden she said, that's him," as in another person. If anyone knows what episode that was, and I'm pretty sure it was a Twilight Zone, and I hope it wasn't An Amazing Story, which Steven Spielberg did in the 80s, which was a takeoff of the Twilight Zone. But if anyone knows what the episode is, please let me know. I've searched every episode guide of the Twilight Zone, and I could never find it. I could never find what may, and I may be misremembering it. Yeah, that's a word. I may be misremembering it as well. So I can't rely on my own memory of an episode talking about bad memory. So how's that for a double whammy? So if you've watched The Twilight Zones and you know of which I'm speaking, please let me know. Now, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. It was close because it has some elements of what I was thinking about. But it's close, but I'm pretty sure this isn't it. But this is a story about... this is a really interesting story. It's somewhat related to COVID, and I think that's why it got reposted. But it's a really interesting story about a problem that occurs in a neighborhood. And a small boy on the street says that these problems that we're having are because there's a family among us on this street that is here to cause problems. Yeah, they're the monsters. They're here to cause problems. So that made everyone start looking at each other, suspecting each other of being the monster. And what happens at the end is, of course, the punchline. And I'm not going to reveal it. You should watch it. It's only 20 minutes.
Science and superstition. And
I'll play a little bit of it.
Pit of man's fears.
It's on FakoTube.
Of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone. Maple Street, USA. Late summer. A tree-lined little world of front porch gliders, barbecues, the laughter of children, and the bell of an ice cream vendor. At the sound of the roar and the flash of light, it will be precisely 6:43 p.m. on Maple Street.
Meteor?
Yeah, that's what it looked like. I didn't hear any crash, though, did you?
No, I didn't hear anything except a roar.
Steve, what was that?
I guess it was a meteor, honey. Came awful close, didn't it?
Too close for my money. Much too close.
This is Maple Street on a late Saturday afternoon. Maple Street. In the last calm and reflective moment before the monsters came.
Long commercial break. Any more of that. Yeah, thank you, Angus MacGyver, who said that may have been the first episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents that I'm thinking of. Never even thought of that series, but I definitely watched it, so I'm going to have to look it up now. And that does make more sense than everything else I was looking at. And I think that was in black and white as well. But yeah, I've never rewatched any of that. I should look at that because I did like that kind of that kind of stuff as well. I'm definitely going to look that up. All right. Mike in the Night. Let me get back to Mike in the Night because this was a pretty good show I listened to today. He had a good caller inner. And some of these caller inners are fantastic on his show. And I clipped it. It was about half an hour. I won't play it all, but I'll play a bit of it. This Raven guy really has it figured out. And I know, Tiago, you're listening. Listen to this caller in.
Hello?
Hey, are you awake?
Yes.
Oh.
By the way, Mike is big on sound effects.
Okay. Listen, what's everyone getting all riled up in the comments for? Something you said and you got to explain, or what is it?
I didn't say anything.
I was reading the comments and someone says, Raven, you got to call in and explain to us what you mean. So,
well, ask them what they mean. Like, what do you want me to explain?
I don't know. It's way back here now. Is everything okay? I know you're not working anymore. Kalen lost his job yesterday. Everyone's pretty much losing walking away from their jobs and it's
by the way, Tiago, I know you're listening. You would probably do pretty well on Mike's show. He does have caller inners. I think you might want to talk to Mike as well. Spread your knowledge as he could use a little update from your perspective. And Mike would listen. He's pretty good at, so there's a little tip for you. I don't know how often Mike does a show. He's on the West Coast, of course, maybe once or twice a week, but he might be worth looking into.
Strong. It's a strong thing. It's a strong move. It's, you know what I mean? Like if they told me I have to get the jab to open my store, then I'll just have to sell online. Oh, you can't sell online because you're not allowed to. Then that's when I'm going to start looking for another country to dig a hole to.
Didn't they take the SIM cards from Pakistan last year? Like they were threatening. Yeah, I think they cut them off from their cell phones.
That's correct. Pakistan. That was early. Early this year. That was in March of this year. They were canceling people's phone lines. But
yeah, they're going to cancel it all. They're going to cancel us. They're going to take your driver's license, everything, man. Everything that they can do. Look at New Brunswick. They put it out that grocery stores, it's up to them if they want to sell groceries to the unvaxxed, okay? They started it in a nice little small province out there. And then they're going to run something over there. Oh, New York, everybody who works has to be vaxxed. And then they're going to start another program over here and another one over there. And it's how they've always operated.
All right, take a step back. We just played the video four times how Fauci says that this shit doesn't work.
I know.
So why are they mandating this piece of... Why? It's like, hey, take this. It doesn't work. I'm telling you it doesn't work. But take it anyway if you want to keep your fucking job.
That's what I'm saying. We know it doesn't work.
Dude, everybody knows the guy that orchestrated this pandemic said it doesn't work.
I don't think Mike quite gets it. Mike doesn't understand. I don't think all the way on this. He's still sort of hung up on the virus pandemic aspect.
But yet I lose my job for not taking it. Like, it doesn't work. But yet they're forcing us and using coercion and even still changing more rules and regulations and laws to try and coerce me into taking something that doesn't work. There's something's up there.
Okay,
you know?
Look, Raven, I could understand if you come to me and tell me, Mike, this vaccine doesn't work. Okay, whatever. I could understand if somebody calls into the show and said, Mike, this vaccine doesn't work. I'm like, okay, whatever. But when the fucking guy made this fucking shit and it doesn't fucking work and you still have to fucking take it. It's like, man, I don't know. I just hope everybody that got screwed was wearing a condom at that time.
I can't believe he said that, actually.
I just hope everyone that got screwed was wearing a condom. I hope people were wearing a condom when they got that vaccine. I really hope so.
Yeah, well, there's a booster clinic at my parents' condo on the 20th. So well, my mom won't be taking it, but they'll all be lining up for it there. So I was leaving her place tonight. So my mom always walks me down to the front doors and we're about to leave. And my aunt lives there too. On the other side of the building.
Sir, let me take this right back real quick. Lenny Poo says he didn't say it doesn't work. He said it might make things worse. I'm sorry. It's going to make things worse. So what the fuck? That's even worse than it not working when it's worse.
He's backpedaling. Oh, but they're not going to backpedal. That's what they were talking about in the chat room. They're not going to pull this back.
Here we go.
They're not going to walk it back, Mike. Not a chance. They're not walking this back. Not a chance, man. These guys have been planning this for centuries. Most visibly in the last century. But if you go back even before that, the War of 1812, the whole thing was bullshit. Everything is being bullshit. But the most visible is since the inception of the Federal Reserve. We can actually date it and look at all the moves they've done since then.
That's after World War One.
Yeah. Well, no. No, the inception of the Federal Reserve was just at the beginning.
Okay.
1913,
yeah, that's right.
I believe.
Woodrow Wilson sold out his country.
Woodrow Wilson sold out his country. And I think on his deathbed, he said, what have I done?
I betrayed the next 10 generations of Americans.
Yeah, he killed us. He killed us. You know who else killed us? Was Richard Nixon. He killed us. He signed our death warrant, too, when he took us off the gold standard. He sped up the inevitable. Right. So, but like these guys, look at the effort they've put into this in the last 108 years, you know, and then you come out with television and media and Hollywood and the indoctrination process. If you look at the effort, the effort of the Freemasons of the whole big picture from space and look down at this, you think they're going to walk back now? No, they're not. What was unacceptable 6 months ago is now acceptable. What's unacceptable today will be acceptable tomorrow. These guys are conditioning us. They're going to keep pushing this. They will not stop. And when they get to the point where we're just not going to take it, they'll probably pull the pin on the reset. Then they'll control through food. This is going to get... We're in the first inning, man. We're in the first inning. Maybe the second inning, but we're not very deep into this. People are just starting to go, hey, what the hell's going on here? And we got a whole bunch of sleepy sleepies out there.
Hold on. Speaking of sleepy sleepies, I want to take the side now of the double jabs, because you know why? They're joining us now. A lot of them are joining us. A lot of them are saying, you know what? F this shit. It was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We're two years later, and hospitals are empty. People are getting fed up with this shit. And if they are full of people, it's from the people that are fully vaxxed that are having these neurological problems. And then you get this piece of shit on this piece of shit. Come on and tell us to our face. It's like taking a punching yourself in the face is what it is. And then you have this other piece of shit, Zuckerberg. It looks like he's in some remote area with some, I don't know what the hell that is behind him. The guy that's got more money than
Zuckerberg's than, in a studio like, if he's not a bot.
America's sitting there like in some bizarre underground bunker in New Mexico somewhere broadcasting this bullshit. I don't fucking know anymore, Raven.
Here, I'll tell you something that happened to me tonight. A year ago, I was at my parents' outside. All right.
Well, there you go. Raven is a good caller. I might have missed some of it. You might have to wait for the rest of it. But he's on for about half an hour. Definitely worth looking into. Okay, here's the Steve gives the rundown on RFK Jr., how RFK got into the quack scenes. Basically, he was looking into mercury and fish, and then a vaccine damaged parent came to one of his presentations and made him read a report on mercury in vaccines that is a neurotoxin that accumulates in the brain. And she wouldn't leave until RFK read it. And then he found out the CDC and FDA are lying about the effects of mercury in the brain because they say that it's metabolized by the body and goes away right away, but their evidence suggests the opposite, and that's why RFK got into the anti-vaccine. Now, I know that many people don't think RFK is a vaccine abolitionist, and I think most people that have looked into it go all the way with anti-vax and realize that there's a whole layer of gatekeeping going on to continue to develop a quote-unquote safe vaccine when there's no evidence in the last 150 years that it's even possible. So that perhaps it's going to be fun to watch Steve and see if he goes all the way. Because to me, it's like looking into 9/11. If you don't go all the way right to the phony victims, then you're not doing an honest, sincere investigation. You at least go all the way and see if you want to stay there. At least don't ignore the entire journey. Go right to the end. And if you want to go backtrack, that's fine. But at least say that you went to the end, looked into it before you just say, I've reached the end of my journey, which is only halfway, and say, this is it for the research. Next topic, Amanda Vollmer has a great telegram, which I actually didn't link to right here, but you can find it yourself because I do have the title of it and the date. And apparently the American Medical Association founded a secret group, controlled opposition, called Department of Investigations. And their sole purpose was to identify and destroy any form of alternative or challenging medical health care. As a result, upwards of 70 people worked to deny chiropractic, podiatry, osteopathy, I'm guessing, and many other areas of medical practice. They wanted everyone to stay away from those tried and true homeopathic ways to cure the body or to help the body. And apparently they were sued and they lost because they violated the Sherman Antitrust Act and Restraint of Trade. I wonder if that act is still ever enforced or does it even exist today? Basically, a million documents were uncovered. In that, you see that organized medicine had no interest in having the average American be responsible for their health. This comes by way of Fascism in Medicine by Gary Null. And Northern Tracy sent me a pretty good PDF today called Disease, I haven't read most of it, but it started off super strong. And I right away I learned of the word encowing. Encowing is the literal translation of vaccination, which is a word that they made in derision, or they were making fun of the word or the process. And the process, of course, was taking the ground up cowpox scabs from a cow, turning them into some kind of powder, scratching them into the skin of a human being, and call it vaccination or encowing, as in putting a cow into you. That's where it came from. How ridiculous is that? And they call it Jennerian, after not Bruce Jenner, but the other Jenner. Forget his first name right off the top. And the Jennerian vaccination caused more harm, more death than a bout of smallpox ever did. You can get this at fake11.com/vax. It's got all my vax books and movies, documentaries, or you can just download it from here. I put it on the blog, vaccination, and it's 300 pages. Take a peek. It's just somebody's musings. So let me click on it. It's a loader up here. It's a PDF, which I'm not crazy about PDFs, but everyone seems to put their documents into PDF. Let's load her up here. Come on now. Is it going to load or is it going to stall? Oh, here it is. Well, this is just a document that somebody put together. It has an anti-vaccine bias. Some guy put this together. I was prompted to compile these pages after my nephew, one afternoon, somewhat forcefully said to me, "No one has ever been hurt by vaccines." I could have just as truthfully replied back to my red-headed nephew, "Your hair is black." I could have also gone upstairs and grabbed vaccine injuries from a shelf and handed it to him. So this is a recent document that he put together. And 311 pages, big font, big text. So have a read. This is someone's document, and everyone should be looking into this. Everyone should be looking into this topic. And don't say there isn't much out there. There is tons of material out there. Use the internet while you still can, people. This is the kind of info that you should be just reading every single day. Every single day. So thank you, Northern Tracy, who you all know here is a great researcher, and I'll read it. Maybe she's already read it, and we can come back and discuss it maybe next week. Here is a good quote that came off of Jeff Berwick's blog, or vlog. Jeff Berwick is fantastic. He's back. He found a quote. I don't know where he must have people feeding him research, unless he's researching himself all day. Maybe he is. I found this quote fascinating, and it's so true. Has anyone heard of Alexander Fraser Tytler? I've never heard of the guy, and maybe he didn't even exist. Maybe he did, but here's a quote that you should think of and remember. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse from the public treasury. Now, isn't that true? This is me talking. The some of the greatest fortunes come from the greatest crimes. And most of those crimes are a extortion of the public treasury. The government is the best customer for any business because they always pay. You can always extort more money out of them. And because the government doesn't exist, they just represent the people. They really don't have any compulsion to keep a lid on expenses because there's no punishment for not doing it. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy. And it's always followed by a dictatorship. Now, of course, look at what we've done. Before the pandemic, we were deeply in debt. There's no reason for a country ever to be in debt. They could make it a law. I think states are not allowed to be in debt, but they get around it with bonds and all kinds of ways that effectively puts them in debt. But there's no reason to ever be in debt because once the debt gets out of control, and then they can't even pay the interest on the debt, which there shouldn't be interest, then the whole thing collapses. And that's what we're experiencing now. Now they are purposely making the debt out of control, impossible to recover from, no matter who gets in ever. And now they're just diluting our current to be worth nothing. And it's going to create hyperinflation like 1930s Germany. And they're going to have to start all over again. And what does the day of reckoning on the game of life usually mean? I think if you remember, you take everything you got and roll the dice and see if you come out of it alive. And for the most part, I don't think it's possible to roll the dice and come out of this alive. I meant financially alive. Or maybe actually literally alive. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. So where are we now? We are just, I suppose we are in the, we're somewhere between apathy to dependence and dependence back into bondage. I think we are just in the dependence phase now. We're just getting completely dependent on the government because they're bankrupting all the businesses by keeping them closed. And they're giving them tons of money to survive or to sustain and barely survive. And then eventually they're going to say, well, money's up. We're out of money. So we own your business now. And now you work for us. Every business eventually will be owned by the Politburo, the top elite, or the government, which is owned by the elite. That's what's going to happen. So this is a great quote, and I just put the title to be Time's Up because I think our time is up. This is where we are. Another great quote, Jennerism. This was called Jennerism back in the day, of course, after Jenner. Today we have Fauchism. And George Bernard Shaw said 115 years ago, at present, intelligent people do not have their children vaccinated, nor does the law now compel them to, same as today. The result is not, as the Jennerians prophesized, the extermination of the human race by smallpox. On the contrary, more people are now killed by vaccination than by smallpox. What a great quote. This is why you're told to study history, because those that do not know their history are doomed to repeat it. And here we are today, 115 years later. We all have these incredible computers in our pockets, yet we're still doing the same stupid things we did 100 or even 200 years ago. We've learned nothing because we know nothing, because we study nothing useful. If you just knew that quotation, it should give you pause for thought that what we are doing now is completely insane. Okay, that's another great quote. Lots of quotes today. And see, this is the difference between my talk show, my blog, and others. I have an eclectic mix of interesting things that you should absorb. By the way, I found this video. It occurred to me today that Mr. E, who's made a few different channels over the years, has disappeared again. And when I tried to remember the name of his channel, I did find a bookmark or two, but when I went to the bookmarks, the channel was gone. I did another search, and I found this collection of songs that was on another BitChute channel. And I saw a couple comments that gave me the impression back in September that he was feeling low about things and he was going to stop again.
And for now.
Which sucks.
After a year of hard work.
This may have been the last video he made in September.
Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do.
Did you hear? There's a natural order. Those most deserving will end up with the most. That the cream cannot help but always rise up to the top. Well, I say shit floats. If you thought things had changed, friend, you'd better think again. Bluntly put, in the fewest of words, cunts are still running the world. Cunts are still running the world. Now the working classes are obsolete. They are surplus to society's needs. So let them all kill each other and get it made overseas. That's the word, don't you know, from the psychopaths running the show. Let's be perfectly clear, boys and girls. Cunts are still running the world. 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 And if you don't like it, then leave, or use your right to protest in the streets. Use your right, but don't imagine that it's heard. The cunts are still running the world. The cunts are still running the world. the world. Cunts are still running the world. Cunts are still running the world.
This is about 20 minutes of that. He's usually sort of in tune. He's not the best singer, he's not the best, but I do like him. I do like him, and I hope he comes back. And as usual, I have no way to contact him, but if anyone knows where Mr. E has gone to, I get that it shows you how much information has been flowing through the internet these days, because I didn't even notice he was missing until just recently, when it came into my head that I had not heard from him. That sucks. All right, what do we have here? Another great Substack that I go to is Bora Quagatl. And what do we have here? Is this, let me click on this, because sometimes I make a post and I forget. Oh, right. Right. They're talking about some of the headlines they're putting out right now about Omicron, which is their latest. And he, or a bad catitude, just traces the origin story of this ridiculous headline that Omicron at least doubles the risk of getting infected on a plane. And he does trace it back quite easily to an opinion somebody had, and they've turned it right into a headline. And one of the goals of the COVIDian cult hoax is to get people to stop flying. Stop flying for sure. Stop driving. Literally, they want people to be locked in their houses and never go more than 5 kilometers without authorization. And that's why you need the mobility passport, which they're calling a vaccine passport today, but it'll be a life/mobility passport tomorrow. So they really want to get it out of people's heads to fly. They don't want people moving great distances quickly. They want to make moving around a pain. And they definitely don't want you moving around far. So they make up all these stories. They will collapse all the airlines, so they won't even exist anyway. So if they ever anyone ever did get the idea they wanted to fly again, they would have a hard time starting an airline because they're going to collapse it down to one. And the government will own it, and they will control it. And they will decide who gets on a plane and who doesn't. There will be no free enterprise to get you from A to B on a plane, anywhere in the world, I suspect. So if you're getting into the travel agency, I'd get right back out of it, because I don't think it's going to exist if things carry on as they are. So that's why you're getting these crazy stories, especially about planes. And that's what this story is today. They are trying to condition traveling by plane out of people. But like I posted earlier on today, their desperation is starting to show. And we're going to have to see how far back, how much longer people are going to put up with this. All right, one more post today. Beware of Ezekiel's COVID protocol. Who's Ezekiel? Ezekiel Emanuel is Rahm Emanuel's older brother. And he doesn't think that there's any reason to spend medical money on anyone over 50. Because he thinks that most human beings they peak at 50. Their usefulness to society peaks at 50. Therefore, spending any medical expense on them to keep them going after 50 is a complete waste of money. And they should quickly be made comfortable, but nothing done medically to promote their lives. He also feels the same way by any of the pre-born that are born before term. He thinks there's no good reason to keep a preborn alive that may be born early. And to extend that right up to maybe the first or second year of life, he thinks if somebody is born with a disability or they can't sustain their own lives, then the medical system should not intervene. They should be allowed to die. He also believes the beginning of life, if it starts out in a compromised way, the medical system should not intervene. And he has a complex formula. I've posted about it before. I think it's a quality of life quotient where he uses some basic scoring protocol to determine whether a life is worth assisting medically. There's a whole formula for figuring out if your life is worth the money, even if you have the money. He doesn't think it should be spent. And that's what the COVID protocol is all about. And I've talked about that before too. And that is a very scary process where if you come in, you test positive with a phony test for amino acid sequences that everyone has. In other words, if they decide by looking at you or evaluating you that you don't deserve to live, they will give you the positive COVID test, which will be your death sentence. And then they will put you on the COVID protocol, which includes the highly corrosive and toxic remdesivir. They'll put you on it. It will lead to total system collapse of your body. And then you'll have to go all the way to intubation with a ventilator, which has a very high rate of death if you're hooked up to it, and people that operate it make any number of mistakes, and you will die. And that is part of Ezekiel Emanuel, which is a very creepy sounding guy. If you've ever listened to him talk, it's like watching the devil speak. And I believe that he is high up in this administration. He was up in the previous, the Trump administration. And I think a lot of his stuff is being implemented right now and maybe around the world, for sure in the United States. Maybe in Canada too. Because most of the Western nations are operating in Rockefeller lockstep, which is their plan. So take a read of this article. I don't know if these people have been able to stop it. I think they're being sued. Our hospital system is being sued. They're saying that America's hospitals have turned into medical jails. Very, very interesting. So have a read of this. Pretty much describe with Dr. Oh, what's that guy's name? DrArtist.com. He is everywhere. I don't know if you've seen him. He is on all the shows, Dr. Artist Show. I think he's on our side. This is the lady in Vancouver who interviewed him. It's interesting that her interview is right at the top of his website. Hospital protocols are murdering Americans by prescribing remdesivir, which causes renal failure. So how obviously this guy is being allowed to present all this stuff. And he sells his own drugs or his own vitamins. I'm pretty sure you can get selenium, zinc, magnesium, vitamin C. You can get your own iodine, of course, D3, taurine, Prostate Pro. Pretty sure you can get these at any health food store. I have no problem with people making money, but there you go. Yeah, so that's just tying that all back into the COVID protocol, which I'm pretty sure my dentist had done to him. And he lived through it because he's relatively young. But it's something to think about and be aware of. All right, I'll look through the comments right now. Dirty Benny, you didn't like Mr. E's song a little. It was a little down. I think he's feeling down when he last left the scene. Tunax, yeah. Zeke Emanuel looks like an alien. Don't be a dog's body, said he's 64. Well, I think he already said he's willing to take the demise pill. Yeah, you should watch his interview. As we say when someone wants to do something like that, you go first. Let us know how it goes. All right, so here we go here. Okay, so I don't think there's any questions or any more comments in the show notes or in the comments, so I'm going to close her out now. We've been going about an hour and a half. That's enough of me blathering away. As usual, I don't know if you listen to the show or watch the show unless you contact me. Best way to contact me is via email at ima@fakeologist.com. You can hit me up on the Telegram at Fakeologist. You can go to my Discord, fake11.com/Discord. Happy to meet you there. I'm always amused by the Discord because so many people on the Discord don't even know I have the blog. It's like a totally different world, this Discord, where people talk and they meet and they interact and they don't even know there's a blog. or forums. They just hang out on the Discord. Now, nothing wrong with that, but to get the full effect, you need to look at all the components of my media empire. Please, if you're not on the Discord, check it out. And if you are on the Discord, check out the other parts of the website. But like I said, email me, let me know you listen to the show. I had one person reach out to me. I can't remember the name right this second. And he wanted to come on the show. And I gave him my phone number. And I think Solomon as well wants to do an interview off the Discord. So you're welcome to come on the show. I'm Sunday to Thursday at 8:30 for about an hour. Tomorrow, it looks like we'll do a reacquaintance with Mr. Mark Sargent. And I don't really have any flat earth questions. And I don't know exactly what he's done over the last 6 years. I've seen him come and go, but I lost interest in that whole movement. And if you've got some tough questions for me to ask of him, feel free. If you want to join in the conversation, you're going to have to call into Skype. Now, I don't have a Skype number anymore. Maybe I'll get Mark on the Discord. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's got Skype. He still uses Skype. Well, you'll use Skype. If you want to talk to him or myself, just add me on add me on Skype. The name is Fakeologist. If you go to Skype, I think you know what Skype is. Just add me on Fakeologist. I should be able to interact with the Discord as well, I think. Or on the phone lines. I can't remember. I can't do all three at once, but I can do two at once. Let me just quickly take a look at my settings for Skype. It looks like I don't know. It looks like I use the same settings for Skype as I do for the Discord. Let me quickly look here. I can remember. Yes, it does. So you can't talk to Skype can't talk to Discord. So we'll stick to Skype tomorrow because that's what Mark is on. And we'll talk to him and get reacquainted with whatever the heck he's doing. And of course, we'll talk to him about COVID. As anyone that is into alternative thought will definitely have an opinion of the alternative persuasion on COVID. All right, wrapping up, it's 9:40. It's Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021. This is the Fakeologist Show, fakeologist.com, fakeotube.com, and we're on Telegram, and we're on Discord. Thanks to all the regulars for joining. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.